John chapter number 15. If you get there, you want to jump over to Psalm 119. Have them both. John in the right hand, Psalm 119 in the left. Psalm 119 in the left here. In Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It'll show you where you're standing, and it'll show you where you're headed. That's a good thing to know, where you're headed, amen? Eternally and temporally. If you're on the right path or not, you're going to have the light of the Word of God. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of God's word giveth understanding to the simple. Isn't that something? Back over in John 15, you know, the battle right now that's going on is, solo scriptura, you can't believe, you know, the Bible. We don't believe the Bible's perfect, and we believe you got to have church tradition and all this. You got to have the church to tell you what the Bible means, tell you what the Bible says, then you can't really trust it and all that, you know. Well, God's Word's important to Him. And here we are at church, and we're going to talk about Jesus Christ, we're going to talk about God's words. But we know Jesus Christ is God's Word in the flesh. But I want to look about some things today, particularly about God's Word and God's words. And beginning in verse number 1 of chapter number 15 of the book of John, Jesus Christ says, I am the true vine. You know what that means? That means there's a false vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. Because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Isn't that something? Now I know we're reading down through these verses, and I understand where we're at in the book of John. And the book of John is one of the four synoptic gospels here. We're looking at these gospels, and we're understanding that John is a little bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but we have to understand who he's talking to. And I know spiritually and practically we can apply this to us. We need him. We can't do anything without him. If anything good is going to happen in our lives for eternal reward, it's going to happen because we're walking with him and keeping his words. But he's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the 12. He's talking to verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. He's talking about the ones he ordained to begin the church. Now, you can look at that and not understand that part and say, well, hey, it looks like we got to keep his commandments to stay saved. That's another part of the eternal security argument here. But he's talking directly to the 12 disciples. And when he's talking to them before Calvary, they weren't sealed. They weren't part of the body of Christ. But practically, using this to practically shine a light on the church and the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, to look at it for our practical purposes and our spiritual growth and understanding, doctrinally, he's talking to Jewish disciples, but practically, we can apply these things to us and understand that light, God's Word, exposes. It exposes some things. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We know it shows you where you're standing. And you better be standing on the rock, amen? We're not standing on religion. We're not standing on the shoulders of the Pope. We're not standing on prayers to Mary. We're not standing on the intercession of the saints. We're not standing on those things. We're not standing on the rosary beads. We're not standing on the denomination of the Baptist. We're standing on Jesus Christ. He is our rock. He's our foundation. And without Him, all the ground is sinking sand. You know what sinking sand leads to? You keep going down to hell without Christ. Amen? So Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of Thy words giveth light. You understand, people don't like God's Word because it enlightens them to their wickedness. It enlightens them to their need. It enlightens them to their true unholiness and their necessity to fall under the authority of Jesus Christ, the words of God. It enlightens them. It shows them that. The entrance of Thy Word giveth light. It giveth understanding of the simple. I like that part, amen. It giveth understanding of the simple, because you know what? No matter how complex you think you are, no matter how many pieces of paper the world's given you, no matter how many times you've walked across the stage and shook another man or woman's hand because they tell you you're smart and you've succeeded. The truth is, we're simple. We're simple people. We're so simple that we believe a piece of paper makes us special sometimes if we're not careful. And the truth is, what makes you special is being in Christ and following Him. But God's Word exposes. Look at verse 7 and verse 8, back in John 15. If ye abide in me, And my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Now you look at this verse 7, and you look at the fact that he's talking about prayer. He's talking about asking and receiving. You know what he's saying? In another verse we know, we ask and we receive not because we ask amiss. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, if God's words abide in you, you won't ask for things that are out of God's will. Amen. You know what God can do? He can answer your prayers in the affirmative when you're asking for things that will bring Him honor and glory. Amen. Say, well, I just name it and claim it. Now, first of all, you better identify whether it glorifies God. And if you have His words in you, His word is indwelling the believer, but if you have His words in you, you're not going to ask Him for things that are against Him. You're going to ask Him for things that line up with Romans 8:28. They work together for good for Him. Amen. But God's Word exposes some things. Look at verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You know what it exposes? His true disciples. His true disciples. You ever heard somebody tell you what they're doing for the Lord, and you're like, good night, that is not even biblical. That is crazy. God's not in that. He's not within 100 miles of that. Matter of fact, you probably thought of some things you've done on your own and thought, man, God's not in that either, amen? But you hear people bragging on stuff, and we do this, and we do that, and oh, yeah, we and I know, it, to me, it always goes back to music. It's always like, oh, yeah, we got the rock concert. We have a time. Now, well, God ain't in some of that stuff at all. But God's Word, the light of God, exposes His true disciples. You know what He says they'll do? They'll bear much fruit. I don't know what you've read about Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody or Billy Sunday or any of those old-time preachers, or even Billy Graham before he went off the rails. Well, he was sealed. He's still saved. He's still in heaven, amen, but he got kind of, unfortunately, got off track at the end. I hope and pray we don't do that. We want to stay on track best we can. But if you look at people like D.L. Moody and all the people they led to Jesus Christ, you know what we know about D.L. Moody? He was a true disciple. You know what we know about D.L. Moody? He abided in Christ, and Christ abided in him, and God's words abided in him. You know what D.L. Moody had? He had a book he believed. He read it. He studied it. He prayed over it. He meditated on it. He preached it. He taught it. Probably right to divided it. But he got the Word of God in him so the Word of God could work through him. God's Word exposes His true disciples. You want to know who His disciples are? Match them up with the Word of God. Jump down to verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. You know what else it exposes? It exposes God's true disciples. It exposes God's enemies. It exposes the enemies of truth. You know what an interesting thing here is? We sing songs like, this world's not my home, we're just passing through, and my treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, and, you know, this isn't our home, we know we don't belong here. Ultimately, we were saved to leave this place eventually. Praise the Lord. We're left here for a purpose, but we're saved with the goal, the ultimate end goal of being leaving and coming back with Him. But I think it's really interesting. I find it interesting in verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You're out of the world. Oh, remember back in the 60s and 70s, man, you're out of this world. This is out of this world. Well, God chose you out of the world. He come down here and he picked something out of the world to save from the world, to use against the world. So, well, that sounds terrible. No, no, no. We're at opposition with the world. You are if a true disciple of Christ, you are a tool that the Lord will use against the world to save other people out of the world. Paul was, as Saul, deeply ingrained in the system of the world. I mean, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was used to the Antichrist like nobody's business. And God saved him, chose him out of the world. How do I know he chose Paul? Because he put Paul on his face on the road to Damascus and used his worst enemy to become his best asset. Isn't that good to know? You know what the world wants you to think? You are God's worst enemy. And you know what? Before salvation, you can look at your life. You know things about you. You don't know about anybody else. Nobody else knows about you. You and the devil and the Lord. And you can look at that and agree with the devil on that and say, you're right. Before I was saved, I was one of God's worst enemies. But God took his worst enemy in Saul, and he saved him out of the world, chose him out of the world, and used him to glorify him like nobody. He can do the same for us. But you understand God's word, it exposes his true disciples. You want to see if you're a disciple of Christ? Read his word. It exposes the enemies of truth. Look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, who'd he speak to? The Pharisees, the religious crowd. He's talking to the 12 Jewish disciples about preaching and speaking against the religious crowd. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The light, the word, exposes the sin of man. It exposes it. You ever wonder why people hate the Bible so much? Right there it is. Now, did the Pharisees have sin before he came? Yeah, but they didn't look like it. You know why? Because they had it covered up. They were all cleaned up on the outside. You know what he says? You would have known they were sinners until I exposed them. Oh, everything done in the darkness will be exposed by the light. But he exposed the Pharisees as proud, religious hypocrites. Children of the devil, following the father of pride. It exposes sin. They had no cloak for their sin. You know what? When you first realized you were a sinner and you were guilty before God, you had no cloak for your sin. There was no way you could cover that up. Now you are clothed, after being saved, you are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hey, without Christ, they have no cloak for their sin. They'll stand at the white throne judgment, be cast into the lake of fire forever. If you want a cloak for your sin, you need to be covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God's word exposes the sin of man. And exposes the answer. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Most people are really complex in their mind. I mean, they can give you a million reasons why it's not trusting Christ alone. They can give you a million reasons why you can trust him to get saved, but then you got to help him keep you saved. And then give you a million reasons why you're not really saved if you don't do exactly what God says to do, even though they don't do exactly what God says to do, because they think they're more than they are. You know what God wants? He wants people that come to him as a child and realize that we are without help and without hope. We have no covering for our sin, and we need Jesus Christ because he died for our sin. He became sin for us. And that cloak that's removed, where the Word of God exposes your sin, now when you're saved, When they look inside, they can see Jesus Christ when you're walking with Him instead of sin. Amen. We've been taken out of sin and placed in Christ. Look at verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. You know what the Word of God does, the light does? It exposes the hatred for God. If you talk to somebody long enough about Jesus Christ, and they are not any kind of believer really, maybe they think there might be a God, but they're not an atheist, you know, and or maybe, you know, really I don't believe in an atheist anyway, but they're not claiming to be an atheist or whatever. You talk to them long enough about Jesus Christ, a lot of times they'll take you back to the Old Testament and tell you how unfair God is. They hate Jesus Christ because they hate God. They hate the Bible because they hate God. The light exposes the hatred of God in men. Men hate the light because the light exposes their guilt. God exposes their guilt. In John chapter number 1, we'll turn over there for a moment. Beginning in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus Christ is light. He is God's righteousness. God's righteousness is light. That's the reason God keeps putting and pitting darkness against light, because light is righteousness and darkness is unrighteousness. Light is holiness. Darkness is unholiness. In John chapter 3, verse 18, we'll look there for just a minute. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The Word of God exposes the hatred for God. Because men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. God exposes sin. Seems like every religion out there, every man-made system of whatever, trying to explain man's existence and reason for going forward, it seems like all those different systems are at least to some degree accepted, if not accepted, tolerated, and stood up for. But the Bible and Genesis 1:1 and John 1:1 and John 1:14 and John 3:16 is hated of this world. They will stand in opposition to this book and stand with the Muslims. They'll stand in opposition to this book and stand with the Mormons. They'll stand in opposition to this book and stand with Rome. They'll stand in opposition to this book and stand with the Hindus, the Buddhists, or what have you. But they'll all stand on the side of the devil against the truth, because they hate the light. Because God's Word, they hate God's Word, they hate God's words, they hate God's Word in the flesh, because it exposes man's wickedness. And man wants to live in a fairy tale world where they think they're good and everybody else is almost good enough too. They want to live in a fairy tale world where they believe, if there is a God, he's not the God of a judge. He's not a God of righteousness. He's not a God of justice. He's not a God of holiness. He's a God of love. And that's all he is. God has one attribute, and that's love. And if there is a God, that's my God, and he'll let me in, because I'm rejecting judgment, I'm rejecting holiness, I'm rejecting everything but love, and as long as I accept God as love, I'm all right. And the truth is, God loved the world so much on Calvary, He died for their sins, and the Bible says right here in John chapter number 3, if we look at that again, it says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. It doesn't say, this is the condemnation, men have broken my law. It doesn't say, this is the condemnation, everyone stole or cheated or lied or fornicated or they've done something. It doesn't say that. The condemnation is they rejected Jesus Christ. They rejected the light. They rejected the mercy and grace of God. That's the condemnation. When people stand at the great white throne judgment, God won't go, well, you told a lie, and even though it was a small lie compared to what your brother said, I'm cast you in a lake of fire. They're going to stand before Him, and He's going to say, I sent you light. You rejected the light because your deeds are evil, and you must go into a lake of fire. The condemnation is not breaking the law. It's rejecting the one that kept it for them and fulfilled it for them, that became sin for them. Amen. Well, I just think that, well, who cares what you think unless it lines up with the book? Everybody's got ideas. Everybody thinks this, that, and the other. But what saith the Scripture? God's Word exposes. There's some things about God's Word. All three things, and we'll be done. God's Word. It has convicting power. Convicting power. Any of y'all ever deal with electricity? Yep. I used to do that every day for several years, and I don't care the more you get used to it, the more you do stupid things sometimes, or you don't check things, and people turn things on they're not supposed to turn on, especially new houses. I mean, they'll bypass the empty meter base and to run their skill saw for the plumbing or whatever they're doing and not tell the electrician. The electrician will go out on the porch and never even think about it because they were just there yesterday and double-checked it and cut two wires and burn up a $40 pair of pliers like that. Or get a hold of a plug-in. And that power, boy, I don't like that. I don't want shocked. I don't want to be hurt like that. And that's what people look at the Word of God, and it shocks them to find out how guilty they are. And they don't want anything to do with it. I mean, I read that Bible, and you read it from Genesis? Well, not all of it, but as far as I didn't like what I read in it. That's because it was shocking to find out how guilty you were. But God's Word has convicting power. Convicts. You know why I'm against all this prosperity garbage? Because you're supposed to be convicted by God's Word. Amen. I'm supposed to be. I am supposed to, from this pulpit, be convicted by the words that I'm preaching to you. Because I'm not perfect. I'm not Moses. I'm not walking on water. I'm not Jesus Christ. I am supposed to be convicted by God's Word. You are supposed to be convicted by God's Word. If you're saved by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit of God, through the blood of Christ, the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are going to be convicted by the truth from the words of God. It has convicting power. It'll convict a sinner enough to see him, point him to the direction he needs to get saved. Now, my wife can testify to this. If all the years we went on different vacations and stuff, I wasn't lost till we were about out of gas, amen? If there's a ghetto in a town, we went through it. Amen. I found them. Usually at 9, 10 o'clock at night. Amen. And we've been in some places the police wouldn't go. But when I found out I was going the wrong direction, you know what I had to do? I had to find my way out of there. And the Word of God is convicting. It'll tell you you're going the wrong direction. You need to find your way out of there. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way. When you're going the wrong direction, you're lost, you're going to hell. That's the wrong direction. Say, well, no, that's where God... No, God doesn't want you to go to hell. He made it for the devil and his angels. He wants you to trust Christ and go to heaven. You're going the wrong direction. You better check your biblical GPS here and figure out where you're headed. You better be saved. And if you're saved and you're not walking with God, His words aren't abiding in you, and you're out of His will, God's words are convicting. They have convicting power, and they will tell you. They're a lamp into your feet and a light in your path. They'll show you where you're standing. Hey, I'm saved, but I'm not headed the right direction. God's Word has convicting power. Aren't you glad it does? Hey, we'd be in a mess without it. You'd still be lost on your way to hell without it. It has convicting power. You know what? He said they're clean by the words he's spoken to them. You know what it has? It has converting power. It has converting power. It can convert you to lost and dead in trespasses and sins to alive in Christ. And it can convert you to a low-level saved person that's not doing anything for the Lord to a Christian, amen? It can convert you into that. So, well, if you're saved, you're a Christian. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Christians were called Christians because they looked like they'd been with Jesus Christ. That Bible, this word, His words have converting power. They can convert you, translate you from the power of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. They have converting power. Well, can't we just get together and not have that Bible preached? Well, I mean, probably in some churches. Amen, you can. So I just want to walk with Jesus. Well, you better find out what the Word of God says then. It has convicting power. It has converting power. It has conveying power. Think about this. God can take His words and He can convey a message not just to your mind, but to your very soul. I'm not a reader. I was always the guy in class in grade school that was like, I wanted to go home. If we had to read out loud, I was like, oh man, don't call on me. I don't want to do this. But I've read a few books. When I got to college, I had to read. Amen. Or cheat. I don't know. I guess that was an option, but I read instead. But I've read some things that really, they were kind of moving on an intellectual level. I mean, when I was in embryology, we had this guy, Dr. Nakvi, he was an Indian guy, and he could just, off the top of his head, you'd ask him a question, and he'd say, Guyton's Physiology, page 317, paragraph 3 on the left page, and he would tell you what that said. In the embryology books, he'd tell you what it said. I mean, the guy had a photographic memory, and he was a brilliant guy. Not only could he regurgitate it, but he could put it together. Just a brilliant guy. Boy, when I started looking at that and watching the developmental stages of an embryo, and this happens at this week, 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 to think it all started from two cells uniting, and I thought, glory to God. I never thought, woo, what a cosmic birth mistake. I thought, man, look what God has done. And if it was an accident, how could the accident keep going? I mean, if you could take a one in gazillion and it happened once, how could it set itself up to keep, set itself up? How could nothing do this to keep going? And that moved me on an intellectual level. But nothing like reading about Jesus Christ and what He went through on Calvary. You see, God's Word can convey a message past our tiny little ears and tiny little neurons to the very essence of an eternal man, his soul. It has conveying power. It can convey that message to the deepest part of your being. Y'all know what a conveyor does, right? Takes things and moves them. You realize God's Word is going to convey us out of here? People say, well, it ain't God's Word. You know, it's the church. You know, it's Mother Church or whatever. No, it's God's Word. Mary ain't going to call you. And if she does, don't answer because she got the wrong number. You belong to Jesus, not Mary. Amen? Ain't no Pope John, who daddy, the 5th or 12th. It ain't him going to call you. And if he could call you and you went, you'd be going the wrong direction. More than likely. Amen? But the words of God are so powerful that He's going to use His Word and call your name and you're leaving. He's going to convey you out of this world. Because God's Word is powerful.
Baptists and all this, that, and that. No, they don't hate us. They hate the book. People really hate the book. I mean, saved people hate the book. Or they claim to be saved. Okay, I don't see how you can be saved and hate God's words. That's like saying you love your wife, but you don't want to hear from her ever. Just forget it. Write that letter. I want to listen to that. Or you love your husband, but you never want to hear what he says. If he could write you a note, you don't want to read it. If you really love somebody, you're going to find out you want to know what they said. But people hate different things, and they claim it's the thing. But the truth is, what it all boils down to is lost people hate God, and they hate the words of God. And some saved people have been taught to hate God's words and claim to love Jesus, who is God's Word in the flesh. I'm telling you, as long as I'm here, we're going to have church. I mean, we're going to base it on God's Word. You know why? Because it has convicting power. It has converting power, and it has conveying power. And I'm not waiting for some council rewriting an NIV to tell me when I'm leaving. There's going to be a voice like thunder that calls us out of here. And he's going to say, like he told, I believe, just like he told John in Revelation 4, come up hither. Robert, come up hither. David, come up hither. Julie, Paul, all of you all, come up hither. And we're leaving because of the power of the Word of God. He's not going to build an escalator or an elevator. He's going to speak you out of here. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, God does some things that we don't understand. But I understand this. He says it in His book. The rapture's in there. It's the catching away. And it's commanded. We are commanded to leave by His Word. We're not going to meet with Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and try to conjure up an elevator. And He's going to call your name, and you're going to leave because of the power of the Word of God. Even so come, Lord Jesus. So I'm not looking for Him to come down to this earth to get me. I'm looking for Him to call me to Him. But you know what He's doing today? If you're here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, every single day He's calling you to Him. He says, if you abide in Me and I abide in you, if my words abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. You might not see it all here, but you will know when He's calling you. You're the bride, the body, and He's calling you to Him every day. Every day. You know who else knows that? The devil. The devils and the flesh. So how do you get to Him? My words abide in you. So I want this, I want that, I want the other. Does it match up? Are you reading His book? Because if you read His book, He will give you the desires of your heart. So, well, I want a new Tesla. Well, I don't want an extension cord that long, so I don't want one of those. Amen. He will put the desires in there that please Him. So that's taking it too far. No, it's not. That's what God does. Because in Him, you're a new creature. You don't have the same desires if you're walking with Him. You don't have the desires of the flesh constantly if you're walking with Him. He will put the desires in your heart that please Him. And don't you want to please Him? You need power to please Him. Where does it come from? I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It comes from Him and His words. Now, I know we're not Jewish and we're not the 12 disciples and He's talking to Israel. I know this is pre-Calvary, but practically and spiritually and rightly, you can apply this and say, look, Lord, I want to abide in You the way You want me to abide in You. I know You abide in me. I want Your words to abide in me. But He's not going to do it during the night while you're asleep. He's going to do it while your eyes are open and you're reading His Word.
biggest mess this world's ever been in. I believe it's probably worse than it was in the day of Noah, just pretty close to it, but it's got to be really close or maybe worse right now. And all these things, and oh, Jesus spoke to me and told me this, that, or the other. And it's not biblical half the time what they're saying. If he's going to speak to you and you're going to be sure it's him, he's going to speak to you through that book. And if you have any doubts, he'll verify it through the book. But you know what the devil knows? He knows who's not reading the book. He knows it. And you know what he'll do? Because he likes to do this. He'll pretend to be Jesus. Amen? He'll pretend to be Jesus. You know what the Bible says? To try the spirits. You know what it says here? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to be sure who you're following. Amen. The devil knows. So, well, I'm saved and I'm sealed and God knows I just don't have enough time to read my Bible. I mean, I had an ingrown toenail last month. We had a tire that was low and we had to stop by and air that up. I just don't have time to read my Bible. And plus, I was cooking, you know, a four-hour supper. Yeah, I didn't have time. We had to go out to eat and didn't have time to read my Bible. And the devil says, yeah, you're right, you don't have any time, but let me talk to you outside the Bible. See, well, how can people be so goofed up? By not reading his Bible. And they're everywhere. I mean, you talk about some squirrels running around out there, man, believing some stuff that's unbiblical and claiming to be in church because they don't read their Bible. And you know what else? I don't think most of their preachers have ever read it. Honestly. I don't think that. I don't think they've ever read it at all. I think most of them know a few verses here and there, just enough to back up what they want to believe. And they've never studied the shoe of the self-improvement of God, a word that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing that book, rightly dividing the word. That's what I believe. Why do I believe that? Because I know how I am when I quit reading it. And I know how I am when I'm looking at things and going, do I believe this because the Baptists believe it? Do I believe this because one of my favorite preachers believes it? Or do I believe it because God said it? You know what I found out? When I start looking to see what God said, I found out some of that other stuff was wrong. You know what there was? There was a gap. There was a gap between what I believed and what that said. And it wasn't in Genesis 1. It was up here. Amen? Convicting power, converting power, conveying power. Read your Bible. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Please bless it. Every time we open it, Lord, this flesh doesn't want to read it. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. But we need it. We have to understand that this is more important than our necessary food. It's more important than the food that keeps this flesh alive. If we're going to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, we need to feast on this book, Lord, and let this book convict us, convert us, until you convey us. Come get us soon, in Jesus' name. Amen.